The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, writing furiously, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
We're glad to have you, Dave. To your right, furiously texting on -2 bars, it's Professor Prasad Venugopal. Is your carrier better than my carrier?
Listen, I'm trying to text on -2 bars with a cup of lukewarm coffee from last week sitting in front of me.
That you tried to heat in the refrigerator.
Oh, man, this is hilarious. This is
Michael, it's only a joke.
Oh, my gosh. The voice of God says the coffee's getting old. Oh, my.
It's Moses' coffee.
Moses' coffee.
Oh, I thought it was Abrahamic.
Said the religious studies professor. Professor Jason Roach is here with us today.
And I'm glad to be here and glad I'm not drinking old coffee.
No, you were drinking, it looks like water.
Yes, in an old Gatorade bottle that I just refilled.
Recycle at its best.
Reduce, reuse, recycle, that's fine.
Yes.
The plastic, like, copolymer leeches won't come and get you until a few years from now. So
oh,
you should
absolutely.
Be good to go.
You'll absolutely.
Fine. You'll be fine.
Can I say that his bottle of water has 80 calories with 0 fat, 7% sodium, 1% potassium, and
that's
7%
of the daily allowance, right?
It's
actually gin. It just looks like water.
Well, it's not going to go bad then. I think it'll be fine if it's gin. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
Preservative.
We've already heard a few times from Professor Jim Tubbs, who's
Hello.
Here. How are you?
All right. How
Enjoying
are you?
A Diet Dr. Pepper and a water.
Oh, and a water, yes.
It's like you're at a restaurant.
I'm doubly hydrated.
Well, and that's because I had to give you the Diet Dr. Pepper.
That's right.
I can't drink that stuff. That's
oh, awesome. It was the Chow Man's gift.
I hit regular Dr. Pepper in the vending machine. I got diet.
Oh, I see. It's like, why did you order something that you weren't going to drink? That
well, it was probably mislabeled.
Yes. I hate when that
I do,
yeah,
too.
That's not fun. That's not fun. Continuing around the table, we're admiring beverages, but that'll have to die sooner or later. We got some nice pure leaf, I believe, tea from Professor Dan Maggio.
Caramel colored water for $1.99.
Everything should just be truth in advertising.
No calories. No nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
I like caramel-colored water. That could be a big hit.
I do. But I like this tea.
Yo, it's good tea. They put a lot of citric acid in that, which disturbs me just a little bit.
Everything disturbs you because you're a chemist.
I know. Ignorance truly.
You know
is
what
bliss.
These molecules look like.
Oh, my.
You do know that we also use tea to paint with in school, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's a great aging.
Yeah, age paper.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's exactly what I used when I created my old looking paper for my proposal when I proposed to Maggie.
Nice.
I wrote the letter and put it in a bottle
and stained it with tea.
Stained it with tea and baked it. In an oven to make the edges look older, too, and crispier.
Nice.
You learned that on Martha Stewart?
I think I just learned it on Google, but maybe Martha had it there, too. I don't know. But Maggie said yes, long story short.
That's all
it
that matters.
Out.
It
that's
worked.
It worked out. Yes.
Yeah.
We are being visited today by guest panelist Professor Kristen Abraham is here from the Department of Psychology. Now we found out that we both grew up in the same tiny suburb of Detroit.
And she heard that we were all in need of analysis.
Oh, well. Well, since it's the first time we've had you on, Kristen, what is your subdisciplinary expertise area?
I am a clinical psychologist, but I am not an analyst.
Okay.
We're in trouble now.
We're safe.
I wouldn't go that far. No Rorschach.
She'll just study us.
You're listening to Ask the Professor from University of Detroit Mercy. In this next portion of the program, please note that the professors are referring to Reno Hall, one of the buildings on the Detroit Mercy campus.
So how many guests have we had from Reno?
A handful.
Okay. So in honor of you coming from Reno, I'm reading you this. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Because we won't do it at the end.
I already feel honored.
Yeah, that's the news from Lake Reno, where all the women are strong, the men are in short supply, and the students are above average.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Wonderful. Very nice. Wonderful. Thank you.
Father Reno would be proud.
And better than Lake Wobegon.
Yes. Absolutely. Finishing my circuit around the table, we reached the origin with Professor Kendra Evans.
Hello there.
Hello. I would ask you for an update, but I feel like we've been updating each other about all sorts of things all day long.
That is correct.
That is correct.
Many things to update about.
Fridays are busy days.
Busy days.
Yes, very, very busy. Kendra and I come from a class that we co-teach with Liz Roberts-Kirchhoff right before this, so we've been sharing all day.
What's the course?
Leadership and chemistry, don't ask. Right?
It has to do with BUILD, and you'll never hear the end of it.
This is a wonderful benefit of the BUILD program. Nice. It's a research methods class.
Yes. Mm.
Cool.
For young scientists. And folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Or you can find us on Facebook, but not on Vine. We have another set of questions sent to us by the assistant registrar of the University of Detroit Mercy, Jeff Nardecchia. Mm-hmm. We had just finished up a wonderful set of questions, presidential trivia. We had just figured out what presidents appear on the $500, $1,000, and $5,000 bills, even though they are no longer circulated. For the record, $500 was McKinley, $1,000 Cleveland, and $5,000 James Madison. We're moving on to a related topic, Mickey Mouse trivia. Everybody knows in the history of the United States of America, although this isn't one of the things, I think it would be a nice segue, that the most written-in person for President of the United States in every election is Mickey Mouse.
That's a mouse, not a person.
Yes, it's an actual mouse. We're actually talking about the mouse, not the person.
Got him on the English, didn't you?
Indeed.
Mickey Mouse was originally created as a replacement for what other Walt Disney character that they just came back into ownership these last few years? Oswald, the Lucky Rabbit, is correct. Absolutely correct. They now sell Oswald the Lucky Rabbit ears at Disney World and Disneyland, not just Mickey Mouse ears.
Darth Vader, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit ears?
Yes, I think they do.
They probably do.
Yes, it's true. When did Mickey Mouse make his first public appearance?
1935.
37.
32.
It doesn't say that. No.
Okay, Kendra, it's up to you.
Earlier than 31.
28.
It was May 15th, 1928. Yep.
Wow. Close enough.
Wow. Walt Disney had created an animated silent short film called Plain Crazy, which featured Mickey Mouse. However, the film did not get a distributor. Steamboat Willie became the first Mickey Mouse film to be released in November of 1928. Walt Disney added a soundtrack to Plain Crazy, and the short was released a year later. There you go. Sound. Have you heard about the Soundies? What were the first words spoken by Mickey Mouse in 1929 in the
Hiya,
short
pal.
Film The Carnival Kid?
It wasn't Hiya Pal?
It wasn't Hiya Pal.
Was it Hot Dog?
It was Hot Dog is what it was. Hot on, yes.
When you have anybody who watches
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse knows Hot Dog is the big song they sing at the end. Hot Diggity Dog.
Ooh, that sounds
what
good, right,
year but... did the Mickey Mouse Club debut on TV?
Wait, the new one?
Oh, man, Jim, just 1955. I'm giving it to you for Pete's sake. It was October 3rd. You were almost to 1954.
I can remember watching it as
unbelievable.
A little kid.
I thought you starred in it.
No.
Here's a nice little kicker, though. Okay, 1954. This is interesting, even though I was born in the early 70s. That exact same day, a very, very famous live-action kids show debuted that I grew up with. What was it?
Sesame Street.
It wasn't Sesame Street.
Captain Kangaroo.
Captain Kangaroo. Very well done. Very, very well
you
done.
You still had Captain Kangaroo had, when
yeah,
you
I
were
did.
A kid?
Yeah. Mr. Green Tea.
I
yes.
used to watch that every
all
day
the way.
As a kid.
When did,
all
when
the
did
way.
That end? Captain
he has been aging
I'm
gracefully.
I'm less old
in the
than
mid-80s,
I thought.
I'd say. Mid-80s.
He's older than you think.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
What was the name of Mickey's sister?
He had a sister.
Myrtle.
Yeah.
Myrtle Mouse.
Myrtle something. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm trying to
they
think.
Don't talk about the DNA proves nothing.
Is it an M word?
I don't know. Minnie?
No, not Minnie.
His girlfriend.
Not
Minnie. Minnie was his girlfriend.
Do you know the name?
I know Minnie was his girlfriend, but you know.
With those wonderful shoes.
May have started as a sister.
Wait, okay. Do you know the names of Mickey's nephews, which yes. would be the sons
Huey,
of...
Huey, Dewey,
no,
Dewey.
No, that's Freddie and Morty.
That's Donald Duck.
Ferdy and Morty.
Yes. Yes.
Ferdy and Morty.
Ferdy and Morty. Yes.
They are sons of Amelia Field Mouse, Mickey's sister.
Amelia Field Mouse.
Yeah. Good name.
We used to know her as Millie.
Yeah. What was the first film Mickey Mouse appeared in color in?
Fantasia?
Mm-mm.
Sorcerer's Apprentice? Keep going. Think.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Absolutely classic.
Oh, Mickey and the Beanstalk.
It's a short. Nope.
No.
First film Mickey Mouse appeared in color in was called The Band Concert. Definitely an older one with old versions. The last black and white was Mickey's Kangaroo, and they both came out in 1935. So you see Mickey's fame came pretty quickly after
transition to
came
color.
Out.
This is just Jeff's way of taking revenge on annoying faculty.
What was Mickey's original name until Disney's wife Lillian said, "That's a horrible name. Name him Mickey instead."
Wasn't it Mortimer?
It was Mortimer Mouse. Mortimer Mouse. And later on, Mortimer was sort of a suave character in cartoons that tried to take Minnie away from Mickey, literally and figuratively. What city, a movie house, did Steamboat Willie debut in?
Grauman's Chinese?
No, that's a good guess.
Apollo?
It wasn't the Apollo.
In New York?
It was in New York, yeah. It says the Colony Theater in New York City is where the first Mickey Mouse cartoon played. Wow. Now, this definitely is part of my childhood in some way. Mickey Mouse took a 30-year break in his animated career between 1953 and 1983.
We like to call that sabbatical, right?
Does anybody know the last film he made before the break and the first film that ended the break? It was a big deal when I was in the third grade.
In the 80s?
Yep.
Okay, it was probably the Mickey Mouse, the Dickens one?
Yeah, it was. It was Mickey's Christmas Carol was the first cartoon in 30 years to feature Mickey
Mouse. Now, what was the last one? Was probably Mickey and the Beanstalk?
Nope, 1953. It was The Simple Things, it was called. I'll give you guys my favorite partial credit. Besides Walt Disney himself, could you name any of the two voice actors who provided the voice of Mickey Mouse? There's only been three, including Walt.
What? Including now?
Including now.
Including the TV
James.
Show.
James is good. Jim McDonald is one of the names.
That's right.
That was a very excellent strategy. Wayne Allwine was the second one, and we smoked these questions. 9 out of 10. Very well done.
I have this to say to Jeff. I have a book at home called The Imperialism of Donald Duck, if you'd like to borrow it.
Tell you what, think about that while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Live on tape from my dining room, the University of Detroit Mercy presents.
Unplugged.
If we don't get this on the air pretty soon, we'll be too far in the bag to do
I'll
it.
I'll tell you, this is amazing. Yes, the world tour continues and didn't get any farther than this.
Hey, this is a great place to be.
Anyway, the University of Detroit Mercy prevents Asa Professor. As if they could. Try as hard as they might.
Successive generations of administrations have tried.
Tried, and they failed.
We're
That's
still
right.
here, and they're gone. What were their names?
I don't know. What are their names now? Who cares?
And we are back. We finished up the questions from Jeff Nardecchia, and we're going to try a new set of questions here. They come with a little prologue.
Uh-oh.
Dear profs, seeing as the professors seem to have all sorts of expertise in many areas, I've come up with questions from all sorts of topics in hopes of coming close to stumping you. Below are my 25 questions I've spent a few nights, crafting for your show. Enjoy, keep up the good work, all the very best, as we expect from Missoula, Laura Benson, who sent us questions many times before. Thank you very much,
Montana?
Laura. Missoula, Montana. Oh. I believe you have a pin
there.
There's
her pin.
Mm-hmm. Only one of the 50 U.S. states has a Thames River inside of it. Which is it?
Connecticut.
It's Connecticut. Wow. Sometimes, Jim, you freak me out. Now, have you ever seen the Thames?
Uh-huh.
And you've been in the Thames.
It goes through New London.
Well, there you go. Makes perfect sense.
Is there a new Tower Bridge there?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Very, very funny. What TV show was actress Lulu Roman an original cast member of? Lulu Roman.
Dave, this has got to be you.
Hold on. I heard the voice of God got it exactly right. He knows.
Lulu Roman.
Little House on the Prairie?
No, you need to think a little more comedic. Hee-haw. Yeah, it's Hee-haw.
Hee-haw. Hee-haw. Okay.
Hee-haw.
Hee-haw.
Buck Owens and Roy...
Lulu Roman.
Roy Clark?
And Minnie Pearl.
Minnie Pearl. And Grandpa and what was some of those others?
And Grandpa.
Grandpa Jones, wasn't it?
I know, but it's just so general. You know?
I know.
It's...
I remember Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Thee.
No, and who are the Hager twins? There's a set of twins that would always sing on there.
Boy, that's been a while.
There were a lot of shirtless people on that show.
We just couldn't wait for that show to get over so we could watch the good Saturday night shows.
Yeah, boy, that's
what, the Lawrence Welk show?
Yeah,
that was another one.
Yeah.
With Norma Zimmer.
What company was the first in North America to install pay toilets in 1936?
Is it a department store?
It is not. It's actually an entertainment company that had spun off into a restaurant business. And it was this entertainment company's restaurants. I feel like I would give it away. I'll tell you the name of the restaurant. It was a very short-lived chain. They did other things better than restauranting. The restaurants were called Waltz.
Waltz? Hmm. And they had pay toilets?
It's not Disney.
They probably sold a lot of...
Walt Disney Company.
Disney?
What?
Yes, wow. The Walt Disney Company.
And they probably sold a lot of beer and iced tea. And coffee.
I hope so.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Would you like some diuretics with that?
Yeah.
Only because of my wife's obsession with first ladies do I know the answer to this one before I read the correct response. Which U.S. president is credited with making mac and cheese popular in the United States of America? He is the least likely to be guest president. You would think
Hayes
brought mac and cheese. It wasn't Hayes. It wasn't Cleveland. It wasn't Taft. I'll give you that.
And you said it wasn't Roosevelt.
And it was not a president of what anybody would call the modern era. No.
Mac and cheese.
James K. Polk.
It wasn't Polk.
Fillmore.
Oh, goodness.
It wasn't Fillmore. It was
before
Fillmore.
Benjamin Harrison.
John Adams.
I tell you what, it was after Adams.
John Quincy Adams.
No,
Jefferson.
It was before John Quincy. It was Jefferson.
Oh.
Thomas Jefferson.
He had varied tastes. He tried all kinds of things at Monticello.
Yeah, it's called Mistresses.
My son would absolutely love him.
Yep, mac and cheese,
man. Can't live without mac and cheese.
So how would you claim, like, discovering? What, did he ship boxes across from wherever? Or?
Well, one thing is he basically imported Italian stoneworkers to work on Monticello.
Right, right.
So I think he ate some of
I'm guessing that if you go to the National Archives, that you'll find old yellowed papers that have the menu for that night.
With the powder on the
White House. Yeah, that's right. And then there's always... mac and cheese, mac and cheese, mac and cheese.
So is mac and cheese what,
I'm not
Italian?
Sure they called it mac
well,
and cheese.
Well, I believe that
back then,
pasta would have been something the Italians and, of course, the Chinese would have brought to the States, right?
I guess.
Noodles.
I don't know.
Noodles, man.
Why would I know?
So he had Italian workers there. Is that what you're saying, like craft?
Yeah, they did the marble work and the columns and things like that.
I just got it.
Thank you, somebody.
I was with you on that.
All right.
Okay. What is the human body's, stay close, second largest soft tissue organ? So we're not talking about skeleton here. Mm-hmm. And we're
the
talking
brain?
About
the
mass.
Brain?
It's not the brain. The
lungs?
Soft tissue.
The liver's pretty big.
The liver is what it is here. The liver's pretty dense. What is the largest soft tissue
skin?
Organ?
The
skin.
The skin,
yes. Epidermis.
I don't know. I've seen some
that
people drink at art school.
Second
I don't know.
Yeah.
The liver might not be the second largest.
Oh, my. What two vegetables make up the British dish, tatties and neeps?
Turnips. And
potatoes.
Yeah, turnips and potatoes. Yeah, all right.
I'm just looking at
I'm so glad
I'm
we have our
children
British
of the Commonwealth over
exactly.
here. That's all. That's
right.
The first
What's
and only
there?
Time I ever ordered haggis in Scotland, I asked for a substitute for the neeps. I'm not a big turnip fan.
Not a big
and
turnip
they,
fan?
They charmingly
okay.
did provide.
That's nice.
I can't remember
that's
what,
nice.
But something else.
Where in your house would you find your spud gasket?
Okay, for those of us who live in Berkeley, do we have one?
I absolutely hope that you have one of these.
Spud gasket?
Spud
part
gasket.
Of the toilet?
It is part of your toilet, yes.
What did I say? Part of the toilet?
Yeah, you got it exactly right.
Oh,
it's the gasket that keeps the water in the tank.
Oh.
Well, that might be what's wrong at my house.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
You need to work on your spud gasket.
Your spud gasket.
Yes. Yes.
See how helpful the show is at times?
We learned so much.
We learned so much.
That we can use.
There's that part of this old house where they just pile up the crazy like things that could be used to make other things on the table, and they all like talk to each other about what they can do.
Oh, yeah, what it is.
Throw a spud gasket at them, see if they can figure that out.
You know they're here in town, right?
Oh, that's right. They're working on something local.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What percentage of a household's water usage comes specifically to the bathroom?
Blame the spud gasket.
78%.
75 is what it says here.
Plus or minus three within the margin of error.
Yeah, that means you're showering. You're showering every 5 minutes. That's why.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Your water consumption.
I think that really depends on how many teenagers you have in the house.
That's also true. Yes. Or how many people in general.
No. That's an average. Okay.
75%.
Yeah. Or 78, as I said. Okay. Yeah. That's an average. Okay. So. We I don't want to hear about
so
teenagers.
Those with broken spud gaskets are probably
not
the 80
for a few more years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not two, for a few more years, right?
What two books of the New Testament in the Bible start with the letter R?
Rick.
The well,
book of
the
Rick.
Revelation.
Revelation. Of Rick is different.
Okay, come on, man. So all these big bucks we're paying you, religious studies professor.
Romans. Yes. Got Romans.
Yeah, letter to the Romans.
Letter to the Romans.
I don't know. That question didn't give much hope to us pagans in this room. It's all right.
Pagans? I'm a heathen.
What singer's autobiography was entitled Take It Like a Man?
Johnny Cash.
Not Johnny Cash.
Take It Like a Man.
Take It Like a Man.
Tina Turner?
Very, very famous. However, based on this person's name... They didn't refer to themselves as a man. I can tell you that much.
Lady Gaga?
Not Lady Gaga, but you're in the wheelhouse in terms of the wordplay here.
Boy George?
It was Boy George. Very well.
Good. Nice.
Now my answer wasn't all that laugh-worthy, was it? When it's Boy George.
Prasad's going hardcore. Yeah. Jeez. Oh, my God.
Coming from the man who uses a refrigerator as a microwave, we'll take it. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, at least I don't have a broken spud gasket.
We're proud of you.
As far as we know.
Wait for the spud gasket police to come.
It's confessional here, that's all. So.
There is only one French-speaking republic in the Western Hemisphere. What is it?
Haiti?
It's Haiti. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Poor folks,
mm-hmm. Constantly being battered by this crazy weather we've been having for the last few years. Anybody know anything about golf? Which golfer is nicknamed the Big Easy?
John Daly?
No, Ernie Els.
It's Ernie Els. Yeah, well done. Nice. All right. Look at that.
John Daly
is some connection. Some connection to New Orleans or?
No, I think
no,
just
he's
his
from
name.
Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say he's Australian.
I'll take it.
I think.
I thought
South
he was
African,
South African.
I thought, yeah.
Something like
same,
that.
Same, I think he's South African.
Same difference.
Yeah, he's
same kind of accent.
No, same part of the hemisphere.
Yeah. Oh my! Just explaining this to my kids the other day, so it's on the tip of my tongue. Diggum Frog was the mascot for what brand of Kellogg's cereal?
Sugar Smacks.
Sugar Smacks.
Oh yeah,
oh,
my mom would never
gosh.
Let
us
have. But
yes.
That was like his teeth rotting stuff. I mean, it was just a cavity waiting to happen.
I bought a giant box of whatever the off-brand is because we never buy the regular brand, and I'm like building it up to the kids. Mom's never bought this before. They're so good. Not a single one of my three sons would eat a second spoonful. So for weeks. I'm eating this stuff, and I'm like, "Yeah, this is."
You gotta tell them it's not good for you. That's all.
I know. They yeah, it's toxic.
That's the psychology,
waste,
right? Yeah, reverse psychology on the kids.
Yeah, exactly. Professors, what's the third largest country by area in Africa?
Third largest. Zambia.
We're number three. No.
Egypt.
Tanzania.
South Africa.
Still haven't heard it.
Sudan.
Sudan is what it says here.
We don't have an
Sudan.
African map up here.
Wait. Before or after the partition? When was this question sent to us?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
This question
now
was sent
South
to us
Sudan
on the 6th of this month. The 6th of this month, so it could be...
Okay, and since we haven't heard back from the questioner, we have stumped her.
It could have become 5th by now.
We'll be expecting
be the
gift
fourth or the 5th by now.
In the basement. Of...
We want our gift.
We do have to clue Professor Abraham in, though. Every time there's a geographical question, no matter what geography it covers, pretty much we look at the map of the United States.
I did the same thing.
So everybody kind of looks
because it's there.
Because it's there. Wait, why are we watching this TV show? Because it's on TV. Yeah. Collectively, what are Piggy Butcher, Itchy Oliver, B.O. Plenty, and Normal Jones?
B.O.
Plenty. B.O. Plenty was a cartoon
Dick
character.
Dick Tracy villain, wasn't
Dick
it?
Dick Tracy villains. Yeah, yeah, very well done. Oh, wow. Of course, we have the graphic artist coming through for
sorry,
us.
Sorry, I was raising a newspaper.
He's Mr. Obscure.
B.O. Plenty. Yeah. Wow, that's a rough.
I've always wondered what the B.O. is. Body odor or what?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it was intended to imply.
So do you remember how wonderful we used to do on those questions when it was a diner jargon about things to order?
No.
We don't have one of those questions. Oh. However, we have the police version of that.
Oh.
So police jargon calls something liquid Jesus. What is it?
Mace?
Jim?
It's mace. Spray? Yeah, oh. It's pepper spray.
Liquid Jesus?
Liquid Jesus.
How do you know that?
Okay.
He's still trying to rinse it off.
He has a stockpile at home.
I mean, until now, he's only answering kids' questions like Disney and so on. Suddenly, we're at.
How do you think he keeps his kids calm?
Oh, my. That's what I want to know.
Better living through chemistry. Better discipline through chemistry.
I do not condone those actions or those comments.
None of us do. None of us do.
I must defend my discipline.
Who is the last active player who still wore a Montreal Expo uniform? He is still active to this day at age 41.
41. Wow, it's got to be a pitcher. Bartolo Colon?
Bartolo Colon, yes.
Wow, Mr. Baseball. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. No, right.
No, did you see this year he finally his first home run?
That's no right. way.
Okay, and I don't know if you guys know the tradition. Like when you hit your first home run, when you come back to the dugout's supposed to actually shun you.
Yeah.
So he hit his first home run at the age of 41 or 40. He comes back and nobody even high-fives him. They just totally ignore him.
I love
at the age of 41.
I love it. Took him a long time.
Why do they do that?
Oh, that's
it's
awesome.
Just tradition. Just hazing. Because they expect more.
It's an odd tradition.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, they could offer a crutch or a cane or something like
well,
that.
Well, a Dixie cup full
of water. Have you guys ever seen Bartolo Colon? They should probably offer him oxygen.
False teeth.
Like containers right, or something. Right, yeah.
Watching that man swing makes me kind of nervous, actually. That's a story for another day. It's time to say goodbye, Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Abraham.
Goodbye.
Yes. Professor Maggio.
I learned a lot today, thanks.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Roach.
See you real soon.
Professor Venugopal.
Someday.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. Right. On his right, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer. It's been a long 3 weeks. And on Arthur's right from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and the Director of the Learning Center, Kathy Bush.
I'm too tired to say hello.
I know. It's one of those months. Anyway, and on my left from the Department of History, the chair of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Why, Evan, you must have whose car is in the way. I just want to get out, but I can't because there's that car in my way.
It's Rosalind Carter.
I've been trying to back up. I'm just
kidding. She's been hitting my car.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.